mojobreak.com.
Hack rippers and sports nuts, welcome to the mojobreak.com sports card show podcast, episode 4. We got some exciting stuff, as always, talking about cards. You know, I got Dan Rage with me. How you doing, Dan?
What up, Doug Fresh?
Yep, just we're hanging in there like some hubcaps in the fast lane, to quote E40. I don't know if anybody knows who that is. But anyways, we got some cool stuff. We're going to talk about hobby news like always, like we always do. You know, the tidbits of information that's exciting in the hobby. We're also going to go over douchebags again. We're going to talk about our douchebags, just, you know, like we did last week. We're also going to go over Elite. We busted a case of Elite. We're going to tell you our thoughts on it, what we like about it, what we don't like about it. And we actually streamlined a review system this time around. So we're going to have different points we're going to talk about. Also, I went through eBay, and we're going to do a ridiculously amount of Skrilla segment. And what that means is we're going to go over some cards that are just that sold recently that are like ridiculously priced. Single cards that people paid wads of cash for.
That's going to be pretty interesting.
It is. And then we're also going to go over BaseballAmerica.com plug. Get at me, Baseball America. I've called your name out a couple times. We're going to go over their top 100 prospects from all time. So we're going to see how those panned out, see how well they did. I think they're pretty good. I think they're pretty on it. So we'll discuss that in a segment. And yeah, all kinds of great stuff to talk about today. All right, so we're going to go right into the hobby news segment. Going to sprinkle in a little bit of sports news as well. I've been wanting to talk about the Strasburg Superfractor. If you listened a couple episodes ago, and you probably heard on the internet because people are talking about it like crazy, there's going to be a Strasburg Superfractor raffle. If you're not familiar with that card, it sold for $21,000. The guy from Leaf bought it and put it in his Razor Rookie Retro Series as a chase card. Those packs were like $200, and they had graded rookies in it, and that was the number one card to get. So if you pulled that card, Dan, what would you do?
Well, I'd pretty much do what everybody would do. I'd probably sell it on eBay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, try to get a little Skrill back, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to, what do you think it would sell for now?
You know, actually, I think it would probably sell, obviously, less than 2100 or 21,000. I think it would probably fetch about 12,000 right now, considering that Tommy John surgery, you know, I'd buy a couple cases of Bowman Drafts and Prospects 2010. It's good value right there, and maybe pay off some credit card debt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could even, that'd be almost a car. You could get a new car, or at least a nice hefty down payment on a good one, you know.
What do you think it would sell for?
I'm right with you, around maybe 12 to 14,000. I still can't see him paying that much on a card, especially who knows what the guy does when he comes back. Is he still going to be able to throw 100 miles an hour?
Well, you know, Tommy John is not the end of a career by any means. Look at Brian Wilson.
He's also a closer, though.
That's true.
It'd be interesting to see what happens next year when he comes back. Maybe Bryce Harper will be on the team, too, and they'll have Nationals will be stacked because Danny Espinosa is hitting the ball pretty well, too, their rookie shortstop hitting the He's got like 15 home runs so far. It's pretty good. So
they got a pretty good team. You know, you got Ian Desmond.
Yep, Jason Worth.
Jason Worth.
Yep.
FP Santangelo in the booth running the color commentary.
Always say, I miss FP. He was a good Giants color commentary. But back to the Strasburg raffle. So you can buy it on the website, on his website, which is the StrasburgSuperfractorRaffle.org. And there was some controversy that was, I think, fueled by a blowout card forum. He put it up there, and you basically could buy a raffle ticket for $10 and do it through PayPal. Now, what happened with that is recently he just changed it, and you can't do the PayPal on there anymore. If you check out a blowout forum thread, people were saying that PayPal raffles illegal and all this other stuff, and kind of questioned him. But what he's doing is he's donating all the money to several different charities. I don't know them all offhand, but one of them is the Brian Stowe Fund, which the guy that got savagely beaten by a Dodgers fan. There's different little leagues. There's a softball. So he's donating 100% of the proceeds of this card to charity. So I don't know if there's a loophole for PayPal raffles, but it would seem like that would be one of them that you could fit in.
Yeah, you know. But raffles are illegal. I mean, it's stated in the PayPal rules. I mean, the people on Blowout do have a point. I understand it's going for... going for a charity, but there's gray area there. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, you can't ban one and then, you know, not ban the other. Basically, what happened is he's changed the rules on how to buy a ticket. For one, you have to be a California resident. So, you know, that throws
and
out.
What's the reason behind that?
You know, I don't know the legal regulatories or lack of a better
Maybe
word there.
Because the charities
is a California charity. That could be it. And then you have to send him a check, and it has to be made out to the, I think it's the West Sacramento Little League, and you have to be a California resident. Where when he started this, when the website went live, I think for 4 or 5 days, anybody could buy it. So I don't know what he's doing with the money there, if he's going to give people refunds or what, but I'm sure he seems like an honest guy. The guy owns a restaurant. He's well involved in the community. I don't think he was trying to screw anybody by any means. It was just a good guy trying to do a good thing and didn't really probably know the law. So, but what happened was, is the person that made the website for him, people were like checking on her and saying, you know, what you're doing is wrong, blah, 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 blah. This person probably makes a career out of website design and didn't want to jeopardize that, so kind of pulled back on the reins there. So I think that's what sparked everything. So
you think he's going to get more than 21,000? I mean, right now, if he's only doing California residents, that's kind of a select market now. So basically, why doesn't he just put it on eBay and divide up the proceeds to the charities?
You know, there's a lot of people in California. I don't know how many people would buy for a sports card, but I think he would have made upwards to $150,000 if he was allowed to do it on PayPal. If it was a PayPal like the original way, I think he would have gotten a ton of money.
I think he's lucky if he gets about 10 grand.
I mean, people have to send checks now. I mean, that's a lot of work that people are just going to be like, you know what, screw it. So
who knows where their checkbook's at?
Right.
Where's my checkbook?
Checks, that's like beaten on a stone tablet. I mean, that's like a technology that's long gone.
Yeah, come on.
So I'm going to send him a check, though. I mean, for 10 bucks. 10 bucks, I could get that card and, you know, flip it or... I mean, will that card ever wind up in someone's PC?
No, absolutely not. And, I mean, that card is going to devalue, it seems like, every time it changes hands. 10 years from now, you might be able to get that card for about 25 bucks.
After it changes 25 million hands or whatever, it just keeps devaluing. I mean, just think of all the fingerprints have been on that case. I mean, everybody's touched that damn thing. There was somebody on a blowout forum that said that Top should buy it and cut it into a million pieces and do like relic cards out of it.
Oh, why not? That's genius. Smart.
Smart. Real man of genius. You know, that would be an interesting card. You know, put it in a set and I don't know. It might be kind of silly, but, you know, that would be kind of a... I've seen sillier things happen in the card industry, though. So... But yeah, StrasburgSuperFractorRaffle.org if you want to check it out. I have to be a California resident, obviously. And I'm going to send my $10. I'm going to be stoked. Mark my words. If I win that card, I will put it on YouTube of me shaving my head bald and running around naked in the streets. Mark my words now. So if I win that card.
Well, okay.
Because I'm going to be like, I'm rich, bitch. I'll be running around, so... Not rich, but I'll have a good amount of money to start another business or something. Who knows? But it was pulled at Peninsula Sports Card, by the way, which is a little local card shop in our area. So I wish I was there that day.
A chain, right?
It's a chain,
they have,
yeah.
They have three.
They have Stevens Creek Sports Cards, South Bay Sports Cards in Sunnyvale, California. And then this one was Peninsula, which is up in the Belmont area of California. So all Northern California stores. So
familiar with the dudes in the Stevens Creek.
Yeah, if you guys, I'm sure.
Good dudes.
I seem to get some hot pulls there compared to other stores. That's where I pull most of my good stuff when I'm opening packs and boxes.
They got the mojo.
Moving on to some NHL news. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was the first pick in the draft. And Panini's going to give away a signed hat. To check that out, you can check out Panini's blog, The Knight's Lance. And, yeah, check it out. They got all kinds of... they have signed photos, other items to be won of Tyler Seguin and Taylor Hall, as well as Jamie McBain. So... pretty cool. Check that out if you're an NHL fan. Panini's got some nice products coming out in the next few months of guys that just got drafted. So
Ryan Nugent Hopkins, huh?
Correct.
Drafted number one for the Oilers.
Edmonton
huh?
Oilers, correct. Yeah.
the next coming of Wayne Gretzky? Maybe.
Well, they also Edmonton also had the first overall pick in 2010, which they selected Taylor Hall. So they're like the Nationals of hockey.
It's the rebuilding years.
So, you know, he's an 18-year-old player drafted out of British Columbia. So he was drafted. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. He was also in the Western Hockey League in 2008, where he was WHL Rookie of the Year in 2009 and 2010. So good luck to Edmonton, you know. That's what's good about 2008, drafts.
2008, he had to be 15 years old.
He did. Right. He's probably lived, breathed, died hockey. He probably ate pucks for breakfast.
Love puck.
Yep. Also, on another Panini note, they have an exclusive deal. This is some basketball news for Kyrie Irving. He signed an exclusive deal for basketball products. That was the number one pick in the draft. So he was selected by the Cleveland Cavaliers, hoping to wash away the LeBron years, you know, getting Kyrie Irving, point guard. So he had an injury-plagued season in Duke, but he's been talked about for the last couple years. So, but back to Panini, they also have exclusive deals, if you didn't already know, with Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, and John Wall. I mean, they're pretty much the only people putting out basketball cards anyway. I don't know why they need to have these exclusive deals, but hey, that means Upper Deck World of Sports Cards can't have their guys signing, you know,
Cavaliers had the first pick and the fourth pick.
Yeah,
in this year's draft.
They did.
Again, you know, rebuilding years.
Another rebuilding team. And it was kind of interesting. I watched the draft a little bit. I'm not a huge basketball guy, but there was a lot of foreign players taken in that draft.
Yep.
So, you know, these guys in other countries really have strong basketball programs, and they're growing them like weeds. The guys are like 7 feet. I mean, I don't know what they're maybe genetically making these big humans. I don't know.
Well, okay.
But on some other news, there was a guy, actually, I was reading on Beckett.com. A guy bought a box of Jumbo Bowman 2011. Or actually, I'm sorry, he bought a hobby box of Bowman regular, not Jumbo. So there should have been
one hit?
One hit, but he got five.
He got five hits?
He got five autos.
Five hits.
Or actually six. I counted wrong.
Six.
He got a Blake Forsythe blue refractor out of 150. He got a Greg Hallman rookie card base, a Lars Anderson refractor out of 500, a Sean Coyle out of 500, a D. Gordon out of 150, and a Wagner Mateo. So,
can you say hot box?
Hot box. I mean, I hope that means that there's not four other boxes or five other boxes that didn't get autos.
Yeah, that would be kind of a bummer.
So, I mean, if so, Topps is pretty good about replacing placing hits, but, you know, I've actually tried to call Topps a lot, and they don't respond to me. So hopefully you guys have had better luck. And if you have, maybe there's a better number that somebody can put on our Facebook, because I really don't know how to get a hold of Topps. I've called their customer service department, left messages, and no one gets back to me. I got shorted a hit in a case of 2010 Topps Chrome. It was one of our group breaks, and I'm trying to get our hits for people that were in our group break, and I haven't been able to get a hold of them.
Busy printing up cards, man.
Yeah, they're selling product, trying to make some money. You don't make money when you have to replace cards.
Busy placing little stickers on the on the cards for the autos.
But what do you think about that six auto thing? I mean, is that fair? Is it unfair? I mean, obviously the guy's stoked.
Well, put yourself in that position. I think you'd be pretty stoked.
You'd be pretty stoked, but you got to start questioning the quality control for everybody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like he pulled six Bryce Harpers or anything. I mean, what, he pulled that Lars Anderson's, what, an $8 card? That's probably the number one card in there.
Actually, D. Gordon.
D. Gordon?
He's playing for the Dodgers now, so he's a shortstop.
Okay.
So that's probably the number.
I mean, it's not like he got some killer autos.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he probably made money back, and that's about it.
He probably broke even.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, I mean, that's another segment. I want to try to get Topps on Skype, and I just kind of want to figure out, we've talked about this, how they place their cards in packs. Who's responsible for that? Do they have an algorithm for that? I mean, obviously, you know, do they hold some of the bigger hits, like the Harper Superfractor has not been pulled yet?
Do they front load product?
Right. Do they
back load product? How much product do they make?
Yeah.
How much does each series get produced?
Right.
Like, how many Chrome cards they produce?
Right.
How many Series 2 and how many Series 1? I would like to know, like, how much in a production run.
Right, and how many of, you know, the non-numbered autos, how many actually are there? I mean, is there 1,000? Is there 5,000? Is there 10,000? Is there 300? Who knows? It'd be nice to know. I mean, it must be a large number because no one would want to pull, you know, a base auto and see a freaking number to 10,000 on there. That probably wouldn't be worth it.
Be kind of a downer.
But it would be nice to have a printout somewhere of.
But some of them are on card, like the Bowman stuff on card base auto. I mean, how many cards did that player actually sign?
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know. It's I would have some good questions for him. I'd like to sit down and talk to him.
I would, you know, and I'd like him to be a little bit more transparent. All these manufacturers will be a little bit more transparent. Panini's actually shows some of their quality control videos. They got a video that I posted on Facebook about how they cut up a hat to make a Panini Century card out of it. That was pretty cool. How the serial numbering stamp works, so that gives you like a little inside of how they make their cards. But I would love to see how they package these cards, how they decide on the hits. You know, because obviously there's four hits a box and they're pretty damn consistent.
Yeah, somebody's sitting there trying to count the four cards.
I don't think there's a machine. I mean, there can't be a machine.
I don't know if you can. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. You know, and I don't think that they're lying or tricking the public by any means. I would just like to actually, you know, I'm one of those guys that likes to take apart things to see how it works. So I would love to see how that side of the business works. So anyways. On to some real sports news. The Dodgers, bankrupt. $150 million bankruptcy financing agreement. What do you think about that? We're Giants fans, so secretly inside, I'm just laughing. But
well, it's bad. It's bad for baseball. I also, Giants fan, but I don't want to see the Dodgers suffer. I mean, right. It's a rivalry. It's one of the best rivalries in all of sports. And it's better when both teams are good.
Or not bankrupt.
the thing that's funny for me is Juan Uribe.
Yes.
Went to the Dodgers for an extra $1 million. Well, I don't know if they're going to be able to pay him. He's going to be one of their creditors.
Are they going to, like Dumb and Dumber, they're going to give him a briefcase full of IOUs?
Though you might want to keep that one. That's for last year. It's $16 million.
Or better yet, what if they go, Better yet, what if they give them concession stand tickets for life? You know,
they're all free hot dogs.
Maybe. Every time you come in here, for your whole family.
For Juan Uribe, free hot dogs. He might be into that.
He might. He might do that. You know, it's definitely interesting that, I don't know, I'm a Giants fan. I see how much money the park makes with concessions, with tickets. You know, we obviously, team's got a large payroll. The Dodgers are really close to the Giants' payroll. It just doesn't make sense to me how they could be bankrupt. I don't know. You know, do you have any insight on how a team could go bankrupt like that? Obviously, the McCourts might have some shady dealings or something. I don't know.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with the divorce he's going through. And I think that's pretty much where it stems from.
Hmm.
It's been kind of like a snowball effect after that. But it's pretty much, it started with the divorce.
Gotcha.
I mean...
So she's basically taking half, and then that leaves him with not enough money to cover expenses.
Yeah, and there was like some bogus like TV right contracts and stuff like that. I don't know all the details about it, but I know it started with the divorce.
Yeah, there was a news story that came out today. I don't know if you've heard about it. Several employees of checks have bounced from the Dodgers organization.
Rubber checks.
Yep.
Just bouncing them all day. No, I mean, they're struggling. Somebody will come in, swoop up that team. It's one of the major markets in all of sports. Like I said, it's bad for baseball. It truly is.
Can we say Mark Cuban?
Mark, maybe.
He's actually came out in the last week or so and said that he's been wanting to buy an MLB team. So... I mean, that seems like the perfect marriage. I like Mark Cuban. I'm going to start to hate him if he's a Dodgers owner, but you know, he has the
that
funds.
Guy's face on the front row every game.
God,
that guy might be sitting in the dugout with a jersey on.
You know, and to fight the traffic, he'll probably put like a helicopter pad in the stadium or something.
Just drop him
like on a line, just wheel him right into his seat. Maybe he'll be sitting next to Alyssa Milano. I don't know. Maybe he'll start. No, she's pregnant, I think. She's not going to be in any games lately. That's good Hollywood knowledge, by the way.
Really?
Yeah,
that's pretty interesting.
Maybe we'll have a Hollywood
scene. Who is she with? She was with Brad Penny, Barry Zito, Russell Martin.
Yeah, she kind of loves baseball players.
She went.
Carl Pavano.
Carl Pavano.
Yeah, she was on a pitcher run for a while. Can't get enough of those pitchers. So maybe she was trying to get a little pitcher inside of her. I don't know. But she makes some cool clothing for women, for sports. She's got some cool outfits, you know. Not that I've tried them on, but I've seen them
not
on the website.
Smart.
Not
that
smart.
Wasn't me.
But yeah, Dodgers, bankrupt. Let's help this organization out. Let's get some Mark Cuban in there. That's
what
I'm talking about.
Let's all donate some money to the Dodgers.
Maybe they'll have a raffle. A Dodger Super Fractor raffle. Yeah. All right, well, that about does it for the news. And now for some music that makes you bang your head. Well, that was a rockin' jam from I Am Empire called The Elevator. So perfect card-ripping music. Check them out on MySpace.com. Also, you can catch them on Facebook.com, and that's I Am Empire.
You're a douchebag. 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 You're a douchebag.
Right into the douchebag segment. I know y'all been waiting for it. So we got new douchebags for the week, and we're going to start with Dan.
My douchebag of the week is Clint Hurdle.
Clint Hurdle.
That Clint Hurdle, the mighty manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, calling out Bruce Bochy this week about not picking Andrew McCutchen.
Who?
Exactly. Andrew McCutchen. I guess he went out in the media.
Now, is that the white McCutchen or the black McCutchen?
No, Daniel McCutchen is the white McCutchen.
The white
Andrew
McCutchen.
McCutchen, center fielder.
I'm glad you got my McCutchen
on
the right pitch.
Just want to make sure. Not the pitcher, the outfielder.
Gotcha.
Okay, so he basically chastised in the media Bruce Bochy about not picking up his guy. And, you know, it's always been the world's. I mean, he has to take the guys who got him there, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, and plus, it's not like he didn't pick somebody who was hitting on the Giants like Aubrey Huff, who's hitting like 218 or 220. He picked pitchers who are legitimate like workhorses on that roster.
Yeah, and they all have under 4 ERAs. I mean, Vogelsong's under 2. So, You know,
I mean, it's not like you pick Scrubs. He picked Lincecum, Kane, Vogelsong. He picked and Kane. He picked Kane, but Kane's not gonna start. He's not gonna play.
It's too close to a start, I take it.
But yeah, he picked Kane, Lincecum, Wilson, and Vogelsong. And those are all pitchers. They're not really taking a spot away from McCutchen.
So you're saying that McCutchen was not going to get voted in as a pitcher?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, and I actually have a question. He didn't pick any Giants position players, rightfully so.
Right.
Nobody should go. But he did pick Beltran over McCutchen. I would agree on that, right? Beltran's having a hell of a year.
Yeah, he's has a longer history for the
Giants. And, you know, I guess Bochy was saying that they have him and Hurdle have a 25.
The Pirates are still a team. Then.
Pirates are still a team. Still,
I last time I checked, it was
they're
when
not
they were
they're
Barry
not playing
Bonds.
They're not playing at Three Rivers Stadium anymore, but they're still a team.
Wow, that's news to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know it's hard to remember the last time they made it to the playoffs or had a winning season.
Yeah, it's been since Barry Bonds.
1992.
Yes.
1990. They went 19 years. Without having an over 500 team.
Let's not talk about the curse of the Bambino. How about the curse of the Bonds? I mean, that's what's going on in Pittsburgh. Plus a lot of crap trades and crap draft picks. Sorry, Pittsburgh fans. I'm not chastising your team, but when you know
they're feeling it, though.
Yeah, they feel it. I mean, you could see their crowd. I mean, or lack thereof.
And by the way, thanks for Vogelsong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I figured he couldn't make the roster, you know.
Well, I mean, you got to think about their pitching staff is stacked, right? You know who they have? You know who their ace on their team is right now? Guy who's actually, I think he made the All-Star team. Kevin Correa.
Oh, another one of our guys.
Kevin Correa.
Passed around.
You're welcome, Pittsburgh.
Do they still have Paul Mahomes? No?
Maybe. They still got Zach Duke?
No. Maybe. I know we traded him Tim Alderson and...
How many bust prospects have they had? But anyways, getting back to douchebag of the week. My douchebag, Clint Hurdle.
Yeah, I see. That's a good point, and it's kind of it's a little bit of a homer pick, but at the same time, not really.
I got Bruce's back.
Bruce can get
his head.
Man. It's a big head to fill. That's a big hat to fill. So what's the circumference of that puppy? About eight. That's eight. That's a size 8.5. They don't even make it on the New Era website. But that's why he's so goddamn smart. Makes all the right decisions. To my douchebag, I'm gonna go with Darnell Dockett. The name screams douchebag, right? Double D. You can make all kinds of nicknames for Darnell Dockett. He was getting pulled over. If you don't know who he is, he plays for Arizona Cardinals. I believe he's a D-line.
I think he's a linebacker.
No, D-line, I think, because the numbers are in the 90s. So he's a D-line. I probably should get up on the Wikipedia as we speak. But anyways, what he did and why he's a douchebag for me this week is he was getting pulled over for speeding, and he tweeted. He gave you a recap of his getting pulled over tweet by tweet. So if you were on Twitter, you could get, hey, I'm getting pulled over. Hey, he's checking my blood alcohol level. Hey, I'm pulling my gun out. I'm pulling my non. No, he didn't say that. But, you know, I think it's a douchebag move.
I think it's pretty funny.
It maybe for Darnell Dockett fans, you know, it was great, a great play-by-play. But I think that he should get a heftier fine for that.
Did he get any fine?
I don't know.
Can you fine a player who's been locked out?
Well, I mean, he should be fined by the police.
The
police. So, yeah, he is a defensive tackle for the Arizona Cardinals.
Could arrest him for being a douchebag.
Could be a Darnell douchebag Dockett.
Didn't he do some other things?
He did. He actually, and that's all this buildup is why he made my douchebag list, but he actually had the webcam on while he was taking a shower.
Sexy.
Yeah. If you want a big, sexy defensive tackle man meat, then you could have watched that webcam and, you know, get a whole lot of salami floating around there for you.
Nice.
If that's what you're into in a non-gay way. We're a very homosexual-friendly podcast, by the way, so I just want to clarify that for you. But you could have got a webcam show of Darnell Dockett.
Maybe they could use a still frame of that and put it in one of the next Panini products.
Maybe it could be the next Arizona Cardinal logo. Just man meat, you know? Tweet me some man meat, Darnell. Hit me up on my Twitter.
My twit.
Maybe it should be Twit of the Week. Maybe we should make another segment. But that's my douchebag. You know, I don't hate the card. I am a Niner fan, so it kind of seems convenient that I can go ahead and call out an Arizona Cardinal. But let's face it, the Cardinals really haven't been a competitor for a while. I mean, no one remembers that season that they made it to the Super Bowl and got the Steelers. I don't.
Now you're out of line. You're out of line.
I've never even heard of Kurt Warner.
Nobody talks mess about my boy Warner. That guy.
The God-fearing man himself.
Dude, that guy, MVP. That's all I'm going to say. When's the last time you guys had a quarterback win an MVP?
Most valuable prayer?
Most valuable prayer.
He does lead those prayers pretty well in the middle of the circle, you know, at the end of the game. So, Kurt Warner, you know, his wife.
Not the douchebag of the week.
Not the douchebag of the week. I actually do have respect for Kurt Warner on a serious note. I think he was a good quarterback, so.
He's a good man.
Good guy, too. Good guy. All right, well, listen next week when we give you more douches.
I'm Tony. You guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team.
All right, well, this is the review segment. This week, we're going to review 2011 Donruss Elite Football. It's hot. It came out about a week ago. People are selling boxes left and right. Group breaks going on left and right. We busted two cases and four boxes so far, so we've seen a lot of the product. So we're going to give you a pretty good review. And this week, we're going to debut our new review system. So five categories. We're going to go over the autos as a category, memorabilia pieces as a category, base sets and inserts, value on the rip and flip, and uniqueness. And then we're going to kind of touch on the overall grade. We're going to throw our opinions around. So start off with Dan. What do you think about the autos of the product?
The autos were strong. You know, it was a lot of those guys in the combine jerseys and whatnot. I wish there was more, like, you know, team jerseys, team helmets. But you can't really expect too much with what's going on with the lockout right now. So they had to get some kind of product out there. But overall, I would say the autos were pretty sweet.
What were we getting on average? Probably two a box?
Two a box on average. I can say that the stickers, especially on the die-cut ones, which we'll get to later, were kind of in a weird like place. It kind of looked like it was a part of the card, but not. It was like something that was an afterthought. Like, oh, let's put an auto on this. And I know that's pretty standard with a lot of Panini products.
Yeah, I agree with you on there. That was what I was going to say was my downfall or my disappointment with the product was they actually took the card, and you'll see them on pictures of the card, and they kind of took the picture and they cut out a little rectangle, and then that's where the sticker went, and it just kind of looked almost retail-ish, in my opinion. I think they could have put a little bit more on-card autos. I do like the card pictures themselves, obviously, with the lockout, like you just said. You know, guys are in their Under Armour uniforms, and you know, I don't think there's any Under Armour football teams out there.
Team Under Armour.
I know, man. Bro. Those guys, I wonder if they actually slipped Panini some money and said, let's get these guys in the picks. I'm actually thinking about heading out to Sports Mart right now and or Sports Authority and picking up some Under Armour. I just see so many on the cards. I'm like, I might look like Daquan Bowers.
Just pull out those pecs, dude.
I'm a couple six-packs away from having some man boobs, but you know, anyways, you know, overall on the autos, I do like that you're getting two on an average per box.
There was a couple boxes where it was three memorabilia, one auto.
Yeah, and they still, what Panini promises per box is four memorabilia or autographs per box, at least one autograph. So they actually were over-delivering in the regards. I think out of all the boxes we opened, I think there's only like two or three out of the 30 boxes that we opened.
But I got to give mad props up to Panini's quality control, because unlike some other manufacturers, they are extremely consistent on the hits.
Yes.
We did not get shorted on any hits out of two cases and four boxes.
That's a good point. Going over quality control. And then where the case hit was, it was actually like a fifth hit on both cases that we opened. So that box that had, those of you that aren't familiar with the Elite product, when you buy a 12-box case, you're going to get a case hit. And what that is it's either going to be a booklet card, which is, this is Panini's first booklet cards, or it's going to be a dual passing the torch auto. So we happen to get in one case, we got a Rashard Mendenhall, Franco Harris passing the torch. It was a redemption. And don't forget about the redemption.
Is it passing a torch? Is that also, is it a booklet card?
No, it's just a single, it's just but a single dual. Card.
Yeah.
And that's considered the case hit. And then in the second case, we actually struck the, hit the Holy Grail, and we got the Brady Montana dual autographed patch booklet, which is shown in the sell sheet if you're familiar with the product.
Number due, at the lowest it can be number due is 25.
Is 25, correct.
So is that like that with all the passing the torch and all the booklet cards?
I want to say that all the passing the torches are numbered to 25.
Number to 25?
Yeah, but the booklet cards can start at 99 when it's just the single color jerseys, and then they go to 25 that are just prime jerseys, and then they go to 25 prime jerseys autos, jersey autos are 25, and then prime jersey autos are numbered to 10.
And the prime jerseys don't have to necessarily be multicolored. They could just be a color, like a single color patch.
Most of them are multicolored, but I think a prime jersey dictates a like a actual number, not a jersey. You know, so it could be a single color number. But if I had to give a grade on the autos, I would probably give it a B. I think it was pretty strong, but I'd like to see a little bit more on card. The on card that they had were actually not numbered.
Yeah, so
it was kind of interesting. It's the same thing that they did last year, which they got a lot of complaints on with the NFL Shield last year. They did the same thing this year. They left it on the bottom of the card. Cards look a little bit better this year on the on card, but they're not numbered again. So it's kind of confusing for me.
And some of the on card autos are just the NFL Shield with no team logo anywhere on the card.
Correct.
Which I thought, at some place I would hope that they can put a team logo. It doesn't have to have, some of the players actually had the team helmets on, didn't they?
They do. They did. And I don't know, obviously they had these guys signed before the draft, and maybe that's why. Because if you look at the base cards, there's a Cam Newton NFL Shield logo and a Cam Newton Carolina logo. So it's like, kind of, why did they do both? I don't know.
Yep.
But so what would your grade be on that?
I would have to give it a C, and it's based on that real funky looking sticker that they put on it, especially on the die cuts. It just looks real funky. But overall, autos can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, we got some good. Our first case wasn't the greatest. Second case, we got a Jake Locker at a 49 auto. We got a Blaine Gabbert at a 199 auto. So the second case was pretty good. We've seen some good. We didn't get any high profile receivers, but we got some pretty good players.
Yeah, you can't complain when you pull a Locker and a Gabbert out of one case.
Yeah, that was real strong. Okay, moving on to the next category, memorabilia pieces. I'll start off by saying I was really disappointed with the memorabilia pieces in this product. Out of two cases, we got like two multicolored patches. And that's two per box. So out of the 48 jersey cards that we pulled, we probably had about 3 to 4 multicolored patches.
See, and I feel the same way. But when looking at this product, I'm not thinking memorabilia pieces as much as I'm thinking autos and die cuts. I'm thinking more, I'm going for those cards. The memorabilia pieces are just an extra, right. But my expectations are really low going into it. So I would actually, if I have to give that a grade, I would say B, but I'm going in with low expectations. So
maybe I'm, and obviously National Treasures is a higher end set for Panini. But the last product we opened, the Prestige, which is supposed to be an inferior product to Elite, had a lot more colored patches. So, I don't know. I think as a progression of cards, as, cards move up every year and they better themselves every year, I kind of expect a little bit more. And I feel like they kind of threw together some jersey piece sets. I do like the new breed jerseys, I must admit, even though they were like event-worn jerseys. You know, they weren't game-worn yet because guys haven't obviously played a game. I do like the way that those cards look. But overall, I would have to give the memorabilia pieces a D.
Hey, you never know, man. You could have gotten number... I had the 11th jersey on for Mark Ingram. That was the 11th one that he put on that day.
They should actually... if you haven't seen that picture, they should signify, like, this one actually touched his body or something, I don't know. He went and took a piss with this arm, and he was wearing this jersey. I don't know. Base sets and inserts. Base sets, yeah, it just felt like the base set in general, and now I'm talking about the non-numbered stuff. I just feel like they're just filler. I mean, there's really no collectability to the base set. It's 100 cards. Three guys per team. I think one team must have four, because if you do the math, or no, there's 32 teams, so there's, you know, some odd numbers there, but most teams only have three guys. So it's not very desired set.
I feel you. But when you're opening up this product, the base set's not what you're after. The inserts don't look bad. I like the hit list foil, gold foil hit list inserts. If we're talking about the die cuts, I'm a big fan of the die cuts. The die cuts look cool. They don't. There's nothing else out on the market that I feel quite looks like them.
Yeah, I agree.
They're real flashy. You look at it, it actually looks like something. Looks like you got something real special. I like them. I've always liked the die cuts.
And they have picked up in price. I seen a Tom Brady number to 24 sell for $30. So usually where Panini's products fail compared to Topps is their numbered stuff. Their numbered stuff normally don't sell well. But now, I think what they've done is they've only put usually one die cut per box. So they've limited the print run on the die cuts, and I think it's brought the value up. So you're right. They're the only ones that do the die cuts, and I think they look really cool this year.
And again, Panini quality control, absolutely stellar with the die cuts. I mean, to a T, we were getting one per box.
Exactly. And it was kind of every other box you got a rookie or a legend. So there's a good amount of rookie die cuts compared to legend die cuts.
Yeah, it was mixed in. Got to give mad props for the base set, though, for the Rams. They were pretty much all in their throwbacks. Killer.
Pretty ugly. I threw up in my mouth, actually. All right, so as far as the base set, I'm going to, you know, I would give it an F strictly based on the base cards themselves. But the inserts, I would give a B. So I'm going to bring about a C minus on the base set.
And I'm gonna give it a B based on my pure love for the die cuts.
Yeah.
And nothing else like it on the market. I can't say any more about those.
So you got a man card crush on
the die cuts. I got a man card crush on the die cuts. Absolutely.
Mark those words. Mark
those words.
Man card crush. It's a new word. Trademarked. Mojobreak.com. So next is going to be the rip and flip market. So people talk about it all the time. If you can rip open the box, get some good stuff, and flip it. I'd say this isn't the correct product, personally, to rip and flip. You got to pull a Cam Newton or a Jake Locker auto. Most of even your higher end autos going to sell for $30, $40. You're probably not going to be able to make money on a $95 box, but the collectability evens it out. But as far as the value on rip and flip, what do you think?
Well, I think if there wasn't a lockout, you would see a spike in this price, in the overall product price point. Right now, I think a box is selling anywhere from $85 to $100, depending on where you get it. If there wasn't a lockout, I can see it in the $120, $130. And at that point, buying a box for $85, you can probably rip and flip it and make a little bit of money, especially if you pull a die cut,
low number insert,
like rookie auto. Like, absolutely, you'd be able to flip it and probably make a decent amount of money. I don't remember what the Bradford die cuts were going for last year, but they had to be well over $100.
Well, I know that the $9.99 that I sold, I think I got like $7 for something that was $9.99. So, I mean, probably numbered.
Well, the Bradford, I have a Bradford $9.99 that was regular base card. I think it was selling for like $20.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it really depends on the draft class. I think the lockout really hurt the whole rip and flip market.
I think you're right, because I actually did a search on eBay today, and I do this all the time. I just type in rookie auto, and it was actually dominated by baseball. So about four months ago, it was actually dominated by football. So I think football is starting to fade away because of the lockout. But It's a good time to buy rookies, especially from this set, because this is always a set that holds its value. So if you want to invest, now would be the time to invest in some elite rookie cards.
Right, or right now, buying boxes and holding on to them.
Yeah.
If you have some extra cash, buying a couple boxes at $85, holding on to them for, you know, it could be a couple weeks. I think once training camp starts, everybody knows football is going to happen. Those cards are going to go up, and even with the singles and the boxes.
Yeah. I think that people are kind of talking down on this draft class, but it's kind of interesting because there's a lot more quarterbacks, there's a lot more running backs, there's a lot more wide receivers within the first and second round. And in cards, that's kind of what dictates the market, is those skill position players. And I think a lot of them are going to get a chance to play right away, which we didn't have last year. We're going to have Christian Ponder might be playing for the Vikings. Gabbert might be starting. I mean, you might even get Locker starting. And I mean, all these guys might start.
But not even the first round guys. And I know getting back to the Rams, but you have like Austin Pettis and Greg Salas who might just jump right into the starting lineup. They might be their number one receivers. I mean, yeah. it's not set. And that's guys that,
I mean, it sure beats last year when you guys pull guys out of the stands.
Yeah.
I mean, so now you guys have guys that you can throw.
Little injury prone. I mean, we have big Don Avery and we have Mark Clayton. Mark Clayton's he's got some skill left in the tank.
That was my cricket impression there. Couldn't do it with the old lips there, but yeah, I think it's a great time to buy elite. I think buy some rookie autos right now or buy some boxes because the boxes were up to like 140 last year. Right now they're around 95. So that just shows you.
140 all day and packs were going for like $7-$8.
Yeah, so. So as far as value and rip and flip right now, I'd give it a C, but I'd probably change my my tune once the lockout's over. Maybe
right now with
A.
The rip and flip, I'd probably give it a D.
Yeah.
It's the rip and flip with any kind of football product right now, very, very tough. Very tough. Unless you pull a really, really sick, like, veteran auto.
Yeah. Like a Peyton Manning or,
exactly,
you know, Bradford, Tebow, something like that.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean the guys that everybody collects where they have tons of, like, PC.
I would say, you know what? I would say out of the 28 boxes that we opened, there was probably two boxes where we would be able to rip and flip. One box, we got the Brady Montana that we talked about earlier, which is around $700 card right now. And we got a Daquan Bowers 1/1, which the black 1/1 auto, actually, version.
Rookie status.
Yeah. And if I had to gauge the value on that, I could probably say that it'd be around $200 right now. So those are the two boxes out of the, and then we got the Franco Harris Mendenhall, which I had a hard time trying to figure out the value on that.
And not pulled, sorry to interrupt, but not pulled by us, the Cam Newton 1/1 rookie status auto has already been pulled too.
Yes, it has. And I think last time I checked that was up to $600 or $700, but it had a lot of time left, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still some stuff out there, though. I mean, as far as I know, like the A.J. Green, the Julio Jones, and all those guys.
Ponder, all those guys.
Still out there. And I got to say, the 1/1 rookie status autos look like something.
Clean.
That looks like a really special card.
It does. And it blows away any printing plates. So, okay, so moving on to the last category, uniqueness compared to other products.
Well, getting back to my man crush on die cut cards. I mean,
it's a man card crush, dude.
It's a man card crush. There is nothing like it. Find me another product that even gets close to looking as sleek and different and unique more so than this product. It's just not out there.
They do it for the baseball, too, which is really cool.
They do the die cuts?
And the Donruss Elite Baseball, yeah. Extra Elite, you know.
I don't remember the die cuts looking. I remember that last year's die cuts in football, they didn't look anything like the baseball die cuts.
No, they cut them differently. And this year's was a lot different because they did the longer version, the landscape view of the card, and they die cut those.
Vertical?
Cool. Yeah, as opposed to horizontal, yeah. So, yeah, I think in uniqueness, they do have the market on die cut. You think of Elite, they might as well call it Donruss die cut or something. I think
die cut, and I think of foil. A lot of foil.
Yeah, a lot of shiny.
Like, a lot of shiny. If you like shiny stuff.
But as far as they really, what's great is I see that Panini does the book cards. I like the book cards. I think it's nice. I think it's cool having two players, having this fold out. It's something valuable. I think that's cool, so I'm glad that they got in the market. It's obviously not unique. Topps has been doing it for a little while. But I think the jersey pieces weren't unique by any means.
I think the booklet cards are kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, you can't get top loader for them.
Find me a top loader for it. I got to keep on opening it up and looking at it. I mean, at some point, that flimsy little piece of cardboard, little paper holding it together is just going to come off.
Yeah, how many openings does it have?
But I'm going to end up with two cards. Then I can find a top loader for them.
Might be able to get more money.
I was thinking about it. I'm all, is it crazy just to cut it right down the center?
It might be worth more that way. I don't know. It's a Mojo Break 101.
I'm not a huge fan of the booklet cards. I actually don't think they have as great of a resale value as just a regular card.
Yeah.
Because I think collectors and hobbyists look at it as kind of a pain in the ass.
I think so. There's some screw down holders that are really cool, but then you don't really see the back of the card. So there's some screw downs kind of bulky in your card collection.
Yeah, I mean, come on. My PC has like a 2000 count that I can put all my top loaders in.
Yeah.
Where am I going to find room to put in this giant, like, mammoth of a crazy ass card holder?
It's just this big old piece.
I mean, I guess I'm just going to hang it up on my wall or carry it in my wallet. What am I could carry it in my wallet, just the whole card without the top loader.
You could put it in your glove box and show it when you get pulled over.
Yep, this is so I mean, you know.
Yep.
It's I'm not a big fan of booklet cards.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool. It's cool to collect. It's exciting to see it in the Panini product, but
I don't like the idea of having to open up a card. I just think you're putting yourself out there where you're like, at some point, I'm going to damage this thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
Every time I look at it, I'm devaluing it.
There's a lot more surface to touch to damage.
Yeah, you're literally physically moving this card. You're like, here, I'm going to bend it.
It's like a hinge.
I'm going to keep on bending it.
Doors come off hinges after.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't go six to midnight.
Nipples don't get hard on that card either, myself. if I see that Tom Brady, it was a redemption. We didn't get to see him in person. I might go six to midnight. But so overall, I think uniqueness, it's fairly unique. I'd probably give it a B.
Yeah, I'd have to go with you on that. I'd give it a B. I'd give it a B on. But again, what's really driving it up is that that love for die cuts. That absolute love for die
the
cuts.
The die cut man card
can,
crush.
Maybe if they can put out a product where it's just all die cuts, I'd be in just absolute hobby heaven.
Just call it die cut.
Just
2011 die cut.
2011 die cut.
That's all that needs to be said. That's it. It's done.
Or they can make all the base cards die cut, and all the inserts and everything else can be regular cards.
There you go.
Think about it, Panini.
That's cool. Contact us. We already patented it. So that pretty much does it for our Elite. I think overall, I'm going to give it a grade as a I'm going to go B-. That's actually a little bit generous, but I think I'm going to go B- on it. Just because the sticker autos and the jersey pieces for me is what's holding it back from getting a little bit better of a grade. But what bumped it up for me was the die cut. And I'm starting to get a die cut man card crush myself. So I have to agree with Dan on that. The die cuts are killer, and that's what I look forward to in Elite.
My overall grade,
yes,
is going to be a B, based on the die cut. Love me some die cut, and the die cut auto. The autos, just what if they were on card die cut autos?
That would be killer.
That's
2012. Maybe they're building up to it.
That would be the end of me. I would never have to open up any other football product.
Yeah.
Die cut on card autos, sexy.
If you're playing the Mojo Break drinking game at home, you take a shot for every time we say die cut. So just go ahead and listen back. You'll probably be 15 shots deep.
You'll be done. You'll be done, son.
We'll sound like two other different people right now in your head. So, but anyways, that does it for our Elite. Next podcast, when we come back, we're gonna review 2011 Allen and Ginter baseball, because we got three cases coming. We're going to bust them all. Well, at least two of them for now. So,
all right. in one sit-down session?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to dump out all the cards and all the booklets, and we're going to mix them all around and open them all up.
Nice!
Yep. It's going to be like a pot of stew, but it's going to be Ginter, and then we're going to review it. We're going to tell you about it. So that does it for our segment on Elite. You know, here at MojoBreak.com podcast, we're usually about the unsigned artist. But a couple days ago, I was in a local CD store. Yeah, they're still around. Very few of them anymore. But I was looking through the bargain bins and bought some CDs for like $2. I mean, I remember when I was like 10 and I would drive down to the, ride my bike down to the nearest music store. CDs were like $17-$18. Now you can get CDs for like $2-$3 and giving them away. So picked up a few CDs. I wanted to play a classic, one of my favorite all-time songs, Candlebox, Far Behind. Check it out. Now maybe, did I mean to treat you bad? But I did it anyway. And maybe some would say your life was saved, but you lived it anyway. And so maybe your friends will stand around you, watch you crumble as you fall down to the ground. And then someday your friends will stand beside as you were flying. Oh, you were flying off so high. But then someday people look at you, they're what they call their own, they watch you suffer. Yeah, here you're going home. And then someday we could take our time to brush the leaves aside so you can reach us. Attention, football fans. Been holding on to some money in your PayPal account, waiting for a great group break to come up? Well, we got one for you. We're talking about rookie autos, on-card rookie autos. Cam Newton, Julio Jones, AJ Green, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, the list goes on and on. MojoBreak.com has a Topps Inception. If you haven't heard about this set, it's awesome. Great looking cards, lots of on-card stuff, 3 hits per box, 8 boxes per case. We're going to do this one draft style through our Facebook. How it works is there's going to be 29 spots, so that leaves out 3 spots, 29 teams. So the last person will even have their choice between, you know, 4 teams. So, and then we will, if we get any hits from the remaining teams, we will random those off. So it gives everybody a fair chance to get a great team. So you can do that through PayPal at mojobreak.com. This is a set that you don't want to miss. There's about 14 spots left. So pre-order now before the price goes up. It looks like the set's coming out August 10th. It got pushed back because they're going to add some more mojo in the set. So check it out at mojobreak.com. Sign up. If you have any questions about it, leave us a message under the comment section. Alright, well, this is a new segment. It's the Ridiculously Amounts of Skrilla segment. And what we mean by that is people spending some dough on one single card. So what I did is I scoured eBay, found some auctions that ended, and just pulled the most expensive auctions for one single card.
One card.
And kind of start at the bottom. Just to go over a Bryce Harper watch. No, the Super Fractor has not been pulled, if anybody's been wondering, and I'm sure you already know. But a BGS 9.5 2010 Bowman Chrome buyback auto, the ones that are numbered to 100, where it's his USA uniform and he signed on card, sold for $2,600. So, not bad.
It's a lot of Skrilla.
It's a lot of Skrilla. You know how much other cards you could buy for that? And a guy who's relevant nowadays, Dustin Ackley. Somebody sold a red auto out of 2010 Bowman. Reds are numbered to 5. This was numbered 5 of 5, and it was a 9.5, sold for $2,200.
Jeez.
So the guy's not even, you know, taking it at bat. Plus, you know, Mariners guys don't seem to really hold.
But he's up, though.
He's up now, he's up. And that's probably why.
And
that's
I think he's actually doing pretty good.
I don't know. I haven't, you know.
I think he's not doing great. You know who's actually tanking? I know you don't really have this on here, probably a different segment, but Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, he's batting
that
just
guy's
under
batting
200.
Under 200 and may look like a flop.
Yeah, I mean, the Padres are 10 games under 500, even though they seem to figure out ways to beat the Giants. But, you know, they're going to call these guys up. I think they got a couple other guys that are in their system that are probably going to make it up.
They put them in that giant ballpark, and they're all, hey, hit the ball far.
Yeah,
Come on. But, yeah. Anthony Rizzo. Ouch.
Yeah, Boston's kind of happy they traded him away to get Adrian Gonzalez. So.
And Brandon Crawford. Ouch with the bat.
Yeah, he's only rised a little bit, 220.
It's a loud 220.
he hit that grand slam. Can we say, you know, peaked? Can we say blew his load?
How about that kid out of Toronto?
J.P. Recibia?
Yeah. He kind of fell off. That guy, his cards.
He's hit like 250, I believe.
I mean, his cards were selling for 80 to 100 bucks.
This guy plays for Toronto, though.
The Blue Jays.
Yeah.
I had to think about that one.
Hey, no, I'm just kidding. Toronto's good. Remember those Joe Carter days? I do. But another Bryce Harper, since the Super Fractor hasn't been pulled, but there has been two red 2011 Bowman autos that have been pulled and sold. And those sold for each around $6,000.
Dollars,
yes. Not doll hairs. Dollars.
Dollars.
Yep. It's a lot of Skrilla. Skrillion, y'all.
That's it's about as much as a Jamarcus Russell rookie auto would go for out of Triple Threads.
Triple Threat 101.
101.
Signed three times. And we're just starting. We're going to climb up the ladder. Getting into some football cards. There was a 2000
Tom Brady's.
2000 Tom Brady's. It's a lot of goddamn Tom Brady's. Numbered to 2000. No, 2000 contenders. Tom Brady rookie card championship ticket autographed sold for $3,100. So, you know, got a lot of Tom Brady pro hair lovers out there that'll. You really support the Tom Brady.
I don't like Tom Brady. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Don't like him.
You have told me you hate his face.
I pretty much do.
Yeah. Well.
Don't care if he's a Bay Area guy.
Now, to move into a guy who's got a completely different face, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning sold he didn't sell
Is that a hit at Peyton Manning?
Is that a hit?
Yeah. Are you, like, making fun of it? Like, different face? Or you... Are you saying that Tom Brady is sexy and Peyton Manning may not be as sexy? What are you getting at here? I'm
confused. Manning's just a little bit longer in the face.
A little bit longer in the tooth?
You know, I'm a guy doing a podcast in a garage here, so don't have any room to talk. I'm not making DirecTV commercials where I play a cop and my brother's my partner and I throw footballs at people.
Mouth-breathing dummy.
But Peyton Manning, it was another playoff contenders. It's called Awesome Playoff Contenders. It was probably before I collected. There was about 10 years span where I stopped collecting. It was another playoff contenders ticket auto, and that sold for $3,200.
That shit's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's probably what they said when they got it. They sold it for $3,200. It's awesome that they have $3,200 in their pocket. You can buy all kinds of iPads.
So that was a Manning auto rookie card?
It was. 1998.
Did the it sold for a little bit more than the Brady.
Just sold a little bit more for the Brady, but as you notice, they're both contenders, playoff contenders. So
get those contenders now.
Yeah, so I mean, you can see that those hold their
value.
Who
else came out of that draft? You might be able to, pick up a Ryan Leaf contender on the cheap.
Yeah, maybe you can get that for $3 or $4. Imagine how many Ryan Leaf autos you could pick up for $3,200.
A lot.
You could probably corner the market.
You can corner the market and
dictate your price.
Well, yeah, and when he comes back, you know, that's just money in the bank.
Not only is he going to come back, when he dies, they're going to freeze him. And then when NFL's played in space,
that's messed up. Dude, I think he's having health problems.
Oh, well, that's too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon for Ryan Leaf.
Wow.
You know, he's another guy that makes a crap load more money than I do. So, anyways.
Now?
Now, probably.
Still?
Yeah, it's sad.
It's either he got hooked up on that deal or you just don't make that much money.
I mean, and he's even singing the song from Stone Temple Pilots, I'm half the man I used to be, and he's still better than me. But anyways. Moving on to basketball. There was a 97-98, you know, basketball kind of eclipses 2 years in
that's
one season.
Two baskets, hard court, ball.
Yes.
You dribble it back and forth. There's five guys in each
team. Yeah, not like a supermarket basket, but like a basket that you...
Okay, because we don't really talk a lot about basketball.
We don't, but we... have you ever heard of a guy named Michael Jordan? A little bit, maybe?
Harold Miner.
No,
that was Baby Jordan.
That was Baby Jordan.
Oh, close.
But anyways, his 97-98 Z-Force, it's called a Super Rave. They're real... short printed. This was numbered to 50. Non-autoed Michael Jordan BGS 9.5 sold for $6,700.
That person practically stole it from that guy.
You know how many Jordan shoes you can get?
That guy stole it for $6,700.
This is a steal. Not even a rookie card, though. The reason why is these are hard to get. These cards have been known to stick to each other in the packs. They were just poorly made, so it's hard to get one that's got a good grade. So, and it's numbered to 50, so...
Okay.
Like the manufacturers back then, maybe they were so in love with Michael Jordan cards that maybe they just had a little fun over the cards.
That's a little too far.
That's a little pushing the button a little bit.
But well, Z-Force, huh? Was that the manufacturer?
No, I want to say it was another I should have had it in the show notes.
Sorry.
But yeah, Z-Force, I'm sure you guys as collectors know what that is, but that was another gray area of my collecting times. Moving on to a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle, which is, you know, the card of cards, really.
Mantle is a good player.
Mickey Mantle was a good player.
Good player. I remember.
He was a giant.
I remember watching him play.
You do? Back in 1952, huh?
Yeah, I was born in 82. Maybe I don't remember watching him play.
Maybe,
I watch a lot of MLB Network.
Do you?
Yeah. They have TVs back then?
They did. They're okay, black and white, yeah.
Black and white TVs.
Or radio, yeah, you can imagine.
Yep.
1952 Topps Mickey Mantle, PSA 5, which is hard to get good grades for those cards back in the day, sold for $11,000.
Ooh!
$11,700. That is the holy grail of cards. I mean, that's one of the cards that's always pictured when you talk about cards.
So. I've seen it. Not in person.
You know, it's the one with the little, you know, fake signature on the bottom, you know, and his face.
Wonder how many stories are out there of kids who collected those and put them in their spokes and their tires.
Yeah, it's a $12,000 mistake.
Yeah, that's rough.
Well, that's kind of why those cards are worth so much, because people didn't really realize that they were actually going to be worth anything. So kids those days, I mean, top loaders, I mean, there's nobody made those.
Nah.
I mean, cards were just like another toy that you would throw away when you're done with. So the problem was is they didn't make it that many to begin with, and then people didn't keep them. So people come
and
out.
Would you get those in packs, or were those like the
yep,
old?
Yep, the old school cello packs where they were the see-through.
Nice.
Which takes me on to my next auction. There was a 1957 Topps sealed cello pack graded at 9, sold for $12,000.
They graded the pack?
They graded the unopened pack. Actually, if you're not familiar with it, PSA does do that, and people like doing that. It's like not opening the packs.
I think I have a 1988 Donruss pack.
Really?
I might have graded.
It's probably worth more graded than the cards that are in there.
There might be a Jeff Blauser rookie card in there.
Maybe a Kelly Downs card.
Jeff Blauser,
Kurt Manwaring.
Mark Lemke.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Maybe Ozzie Smith or something. I don't know. Will Clark.
There can be an Orlando Merced rookie card in there.
Billy Ripken.
Oof.
Just dropping some knowledge.
Fuckface.
Yeah, the famous fuckface card. So why are you calling me fuckface? Did I say something wrong? Now, the card that sold for the most from my search was a 1935 Zenut autographed Joe DiMaggio rookie card. It's from the Barry Harper collection. It's a Zenut card from 1935 featuring Joe DiMaggio with the San Francisco Seals of the Pacific Coast League prior to joining the Yankees in 1936. It has a coupon attached. The card is signed in black Sharpie. And 1935 is neatly written in blue ink. So from the Barry Harper collection, I'm assuming that's like an auctioneer, sold for $20,000 on eBay.
I want that.
You want that card?
I want that one.
$20,000?
Yep. Maybe I don't want to pay $20,000.
Maybe you can trade him your 06 Scion TC for it.
Oof. It's got 108,000 miles on it.
Do you think you could ride that Joe DiMaggio card to work?
Probably not.
Put some wheels on it?
Probably not.
No.
Throw it in my spokes.
Throw it in your spokes. Throw it in your brakes. Yeah, $20,000 is a lot, and that eclipses the reason why I did this segment. $20,000 is a lot of Skrilla to spend on one car.
But spend it if you got it. Why not?
You know, if you're rich and you just don't know what to do with your money, you can actually go to mojobreak.com and buy a lot of PayPal spots for our breaks. But secondly, why not spend it on a bunch of ridiculously priced cards?
I wish there had to be some major collectors who, maybe it was the Razor guy who bought that. He's going to cut up a million little pieces and
strategically place it in a pack.
Yeah.
So that it comes out the last card of the print run. So
yep.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Strasburg.
Goes to him.
Yep. Yep. And then he resells it, and he's got a Razor rookie retro. It's just double because it's been rehashed a couple times.
We're actually if anybody wants to do a segment for Douchebags of the Week and do it on Doug and I, that's cool too.
We're just talking mess. It's almost 2 a.m. here on July 7th, and we're just talking the S. So I mean, that pretty much does our ridiculously amount of Skrilla cards. I can't even say it right. Skrilla is gang slang
for money.
If you didn't get that, Skrilla means money. Write that down. Say it in front of your friends. You might impress somebody.
Don't say it around anybody.
Why not?
Because it's kind of stupid.
Is it?
It rolls off the tongue. It's pretty much 1998 gangster slang.
2001.
Pretty much 1998.
I like it. I like Skrilla.
A little behind the times here. I think, I don't know what the kids are saying these days, but maybe coin.
Coin.
A lot of coin.
Dropping some coin. That sounds like even earlier, like 80s.
Everybody knows they didn't have coins in the 80s.
Or stacking my chips. Stacking my chips? I don't know. Well, that does it for that. Tune in next week. Maybe we'll have another ridiculously amounts of Skrilla segment.
Money.
All right, this next segment is about prospects, and it's about the history of prospects. If you're like me, I'm a stat nerd, and I like to see guys that, you know, come up from the minor leagues, get a shot in the majors, prospects. We all hold their rookie cards and dream of them hitting big. So baseballamerica.com is the site to go to. Really in-depth analysis, got the prospect sheet, the weekly hot list. It's a great site. I just signed up. I got a membership there. It's fairly cheap. Check out the price. But they also have a lot of free content. And this is what I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over some free content. They have a section of their history of their top 100 prospects year by year. So I'm going to go over some of the last 10 years, go over some of the big names. They're pretty spot on their prospects. Guys that have made it, big names that are in their top 10. So, I mean, go over 2009. In the top 10, you got Matt Wieters, David Price, Colby Rasmus, Tommy Hansen, Jason Hayward, Travis Snyder, Brett Anderson, Cameron Maben, Madison Bumgarner. I mean, most of these guys wind up on the team, so wind up being superstars. You know, Neftali Feliz, they got Buster Posey at 14 in 2009. So moving on to 2008, top name Jay Bruce. We all know how big of a guy he was. His Bowman cards were through the roof. Evan Longoria being number two in 2008. You got Jabba Chamberlain. We all remember that Yankee love for Jabba Chamberlain in 2008. Colby Rasmus. Cameron Maben, Clayton Kershaw, Homer Bailey. That's in 2008. I'm going to jump back a few years. I'm going to go to 2000. And it's quite interesting. They have Rick Ankiel as the number one prospect, but as a pitcher. That just shows you how interesting Rick Ankiel's career has been. Turned around, becomes a hitter, hitting for power. Just a great overall athlete. Second on that list was my boy, Pat Burrell. We all know that he's been passed around. Won a World Series champion with my Giants last year. Corey Patterson, Vernon Wells at number four. Nick Johnson. Scrolling down the list, you got Josh Hamilton in 2000 for the Devil Rays. We all know he ran into some drug problems, but Josh Hamilton's one of the top 10 players in the league. Made another All-Star. So 2001, Josh Hamilton jumped to number one. You got Josh Beckett on the list in 2001. CC Sabathia when he was on the Indians. Got Ichiro. Roy Oswalt, number 13. So I recommend checking out baseballamerica.com to go over this list. You can go as far back as, I think it's like 88, 89. Some before they had color TV, before high definition, you know. These guys were scouting and sending the good word to us baseball fans. You look back at 96, they got Andrew Jones on the number one prospect. Did really well for the Braves. Remember, he came close to hitting, you know, he was hitting over 50 home runs for a little while there. Ruben Rivera for the Yankees. You got Derek Jeter at number six. Levon Hernandez at number eight. This is 1996 still. So pretty cool. And you can see a lot of good stats for new guys on there. I get a lot of my info from them. They haven't paid to have any advertising, but I feel like they should. BaseballAmerica.com, great site. So all around good site. So check it out. Well, that does it for episode 4. And by the way, we're on Stitcher. If you don't know what Stitcher, if you have a smartphone like an iPhone, a Droid, any of those phones that are smart, so-called smart, download the Stitcher app and you can get the MojoBreak.com Sports Card Show podcast streaming live. And they actually compress it for us. So it actually sounds a little bit better even though it's streaming live. So if you can't, you know, you're in your car, you don't have time to download the latest episode from iTunes because you're not on Wi-Fi, just do it through the Stitcher app. You can also go online and do it at Stitcher as well. Great app. They got all the big name podcasts on there. They got the Joe Rogan Show, which is my favorite podcast. Adam Carolla Show. Great stuff. So I'd like to thank you guys for listening. Always check out mojobreak.com. We got a new podcast site coming up just dedicated for this podcast. So in the next episode, I'll go ahead and update you on that. It's kind of under construction right now. So thank you guys for tuning in. Next week's going to be exciting because we got Ginter. We're going to break at least two cases, maybe three. So we're going to give you some insights on that as well as a review. And I think the lockout might be over. So I think we're going to be talking a little more about football, more prospects, rookies, how cards are doing next week. So also we may do another flashbacks of mediocrity. Who knows? But keep ripping those packs. Keep watching the games. Go out to the weather's nice, especially if you're here in California. Summer's here. Go out to the ball game. Check out a minor league game or something. All right. Well, you guys have a good one.
Peace. MojoBreak.com.